My name is Brenda Raymer. I am the founder and executive director of the Team Echo Aquarium and Shark Lab right here on Main Street in Hendersonville.
I have to ask, you know, we get bears and wild turkeys, and but somehow this just feels a little out of place. Not out of place in a bad way, just unexpected.
We are very unexpected. We are a great little treasure here in Hendersonville. This all started in my kitchen in 2001. I was teaching school and did some surveying and found that 60% roughly of our mountain children don't see blue water. They have to learn about it as an ecosystem, but they don't have a lot of hands-on practical experience with it. And I wanted to make that change. And here we are with the first inland aquarium. My background is actually special education. I am a teacher by trained profession and an explorer by life. And when the opportunity came to me, when I had the idea of expanding the science program for our students and looking at the demographic area where we are and thought, how can I make it so that I can actually take students to science instead of a book and a DVD on a desk? And the idea came, and we started it. I did the paperwork. It is now an official nonprofit. We are a registered 501c3. We have recognition all over the U.S. and in the Caribbean, and it's absolutely amazing. And we serve about 3,500 people a year now just in classes and programs, and about 7,000 visitors into our little aquarium here on Main Street.
How did the research element come in? How did that happen? Because I understand, you know, creating the experience, providing some hands-on science lessons, but you're doing more.
We are. We're doing more. We rebranded this year in 2018, the beginning of 2018, and have become an official Shark Lab, Aquarium and Shark Lab. We are part of the American Elasmobranch Society and the North Carolina Science Network. We raise baby bamboo sharks as research projects to see if we can accomplish getting them to live longer in captivity and to grow bigger, better, faster, stronger right out of the egg.
How did you pick the bamboo shark? How did that happen?
Well, we started with a single bamboo shark, a female, and it kind of, the research grew on its own out of the drive of the students that volunteer here and that intern here. And the more we researched, the more we realized that these are some of the most harvested species of shark for the aquarium trade because they only get about 4 feet long. But they have a pretty high mortality rate when they're harvested. So we wanted to be able to find a way that, since they are captive breeders, if we can get the eggs and discover a way that the eggs are going to be healthier, the sharks are going to be healthier, we share that with other aquariums and within the science field and maybe make the shark life a little bit better and maybe cut back on some of the harvesting.
And how far is your research? Tell me what, what your research questions, if you have any specific based on that sort of longevity issue, and how you're conducting that research.
Well, we do daily checks on all of our sharks, and we hand feed. The things, the biggest variables that we play with in our research right now are the nutrition factor, of course. The better care you're given, the longer you are going to live. But we have found that by adding certain things like in mixtures such as iodide and liquid garlic, our sharks are having better digestive systems and they're actually much more movement, better appetites. We have one, basically the research today will tell you that bamboos age out at about 7 years in captivity. We have our mama shark is 7 years old and she is not looking anywhere near like she is done with life. She is absolutely amazing. And we've also been playing with the lighting. Water quality, of course, is very, very important, but we play with the lighting and we are experimenting with different levels and intensities of lighting to work on their metabolism and their skeletal structure, you know, which is cartilage. And, you know, the water quality, like I said, the air quality in the water, but basically it's nutrition for us and lighting is what we're finding. And we also imprint our sharks. If you are here at 1 o'clock, I'll be getting in that tank and they'll come up and lay right in my lap. It's pretty cool to see. These girls are very imprinted on us, as are most of the animals here at the aquarium. They know us by sight, sound, smell, touch, an electric impulse when we're in the water.
Okay, you expect that maybe at the nature center or maybe with a dolphin that you might see, but that...
It is. It's amazing, and I've actually taken my divers down to the Bahamas. We've worked with UNESCO with the big sharks, the Bahamian reef sharks, and went down last summer and did a study on how they imprint their sharks because they hand feed. They have a hand feeding station where the divers go down. They're dressed in chainmail. All their gear is wrapped in stainless steel, and they hand feed the sharks, and they build a trust, a rapport, just like we do. And they can get the sharks to go into sleep, what's called tonic immobility. And then they can take hooks out of their jaws, look at injuries, tag them, draw samples while the sharks are asleep and not having to take the shark, capture it, give it a bad impression, haul it out of the water. It's thrashing around on the boat. You know, it endangers people and animals. So this is a kinder, gentler approach. So I took five of my students last summer to the Bahamas, and we went diving with sharks, big sharks, and we're going to do it every year. It's amazing. And then they take what they see there, and we exchange information with their divers, and we put it in practice here. And we're actually have been visited twice by the Florida State Aquarium, and just really excited, and hopefully we'll be down there maybe in March and look at their shark program. So, you know, it's coming. We need to show, you know, we believe in respect, mutual respect. If these animals don't want to interact with us, we don't track them down, force them. We let them come of their own volition. And they come and they lay in our laps, and I've given them kisses, and we've gone nose to nose, and I don't think they know they have fins. I think they think they're puppies, you know, or kittens or something, but they know us. And as soon as we hit that water, they start circling our feet.
So did you have any idea when you started this and you chose a shark and now you're getting in the not just in this water, but in water, you know, in the ocean with sharks?
I know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? I grew up on the banks of the Ohio River and didn't even know what a shark was till I was in my mid-30s and had gone, you know, to Myrtle Beach and to an aquarium. But I think that one of the biggest blessings and joys in my life has been to let the path take its own form and have the ability to follow it. And if I can get students from here in the mountains who have a dream of doing something in marine biology or working with animals or working in the ocean or in the atmospheric area, if we can give them some practical knowledge and experience and see what it's about, that's why I'm here. That's what makes me happy, what I can give and let other kids learn to do.
Have you had students who have gone on or who have come through here who have gone on to pursue anything connected to marine biology?
I have. I actually have a student that's teaching at the Oregon Aquarium. I have one that's teaching at the Dolphin Research Center right now. I have a young man that became a hard hat diver for Duke Energy. My son and one of his friends has been down studying the big sharks down in the Bahamas. I have students that have gone on to water therapy with special needs. So it's kind of really neat. Some students have just gone into teaching, which makes me feel really excited too that, you know, as a teacher, there's no better gift than to have a student come back and go, hey, I'm a teacher now too. So they travel and they go out and they keep contacts and they research. I have one that's in vet tech school right now, and she's gonna go into marine animals, you know, with her vet tech, because she's seen how many things we have had to deal with here, and there's just no real available help for us here. You know, veterinarians are very expensive with our reptiles. Chris Coleman has been awesome, and he's helped us with reptiles, but there's no one around that does marine studies. So hopefully Courtney, you know, I don't know where she'll go, but she's doing. So it's just nice to be able to let kids have a dream and see that there is a way to pursue it. You just have to have the drive.
Yeah, here in Western North Carolina, I mean, I love that.
Thank you, I do too.
Yeah, do you ever look back and just go, oh my gosh, this just started, like I wanted to give kids a bigger experience? And
I do. It's always amazing when former students come in and that's the question they always ask is, did you ever think you'd end up here? And the answer is no. I thought, you know, when I started this, I'd do a couple of really cool trips and enhance kids' lives, you know, and volunteer and go into schools and talk about the ocean. But to actually be able to offer a piece of the ocean is it's phenomenal. I can't even explain it. I couldn't have wished for anything better to happen with the path of my life.